Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
We're going to play a clip, and this is what I were talking about, how Obama formed ISIS. Now, this is as much of it as we were able to get before they took it all down. And he was addressing, speaking to the far-left Antichrist communist gang of his. So go ahead and play that clip.
Was moving too slowly, but the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
There you go. That was the ISIL means ISIS. That's what he's referring to, forces. Obama started the ISIL force. He started ISIS, folks, and you didn't hear any of that in any of the fake news media. I can tell you that. And so now we're going to go into a clip. And this clip is Rose Coiry, and she's going to be talking about symposium that she's speaking of on the agenda of Agenda 2030. And again, like I said, in Ohio, they refer to this as NOWACA. I call them NOWACI, but in Ohio, they are the, and in different states, they go by, and in some states, there's different groups, but they're all Agenda 2030, and they're working with the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization, but they're all New Age, and they're all about taking away all of your freedoms and controlling every aspect of your life. So go ahead and play that clip from Rose Coiry.
Are super excited and honored to have our next guest. This is a woman that has been doing a lot of work to expose United Nations Agenda 21. She wrote an amazing book, Behind the Green Mask. It's not just about education, right, which is super important, but she got active in her local community in a city in Northern California, and she really pushed back on a massive development. At first, she didn't know that it was Agenda 21 that was creeping behind it, but it just didn't make sense for her. What's going on? What's with all this top-down control stuff? Why are they putting up so much resistance? She peeled back a layer or two and discovered it was the United Nations Agenda 21. And as we'll discover from her talk, there is a lot of overlap between the Great Reset, Agenda 21, and the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So without further ado, we would like to introduce to you Rose Coiry, who is going to talk to us about Agenda 21 and the Great Reset. Thank you so much for joining us, Rosa. We're going to turn the floor over to you. And I know that you had a prepared presentation, so go ahead and just do your normal thing that you were going to do, even though we're starting just a little bit late. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks a lot, John. And I want to say hi to everybody. I'm so pleased to have been invited to participate in this. Well, let's just say it. This is an historic conference. This is the confluence of iconoclastic thinkers and creators of the Greater Reset. Because, you know, in this time of stress and anger and fear and separation and limitation, we need to break out of the paralysis and the panic that's imposed on us and break into a set of positive, workable solutions that could bring us closer together in respect and love. So I know that's what we're all excited to be participating in today. It's the declaration of taking back control of our life's direction. So as John said, my role today is to set the stage for the Greater Reset by looking at the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, the fourth industrial revolution, the UN Agenda 2030, and of course the larger plan within which all of this revolves, which is United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. We can agree that we're witnessing the great purge. It's the great concentration of wealth and power, the great reveal of willing dictators, the great reallocation of resources, the great digital revolution of the surveillance state. This is the agenda for the 21st century and beyond. It's the great rehash of the old plan. So I'm going to start there. UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is the comprehensive blueprint. It's the action plan, as the UN calls it, to inventory and control all land, water, minerals, plants, animals, construction, means of production, energy, education, transportation, information, and all human beings in the world. It's an inventory and control plan. This is the agenda for the 21st century. It's a blueprint for 100 years. And there are milestones at 2020, 2030, 2035, and 2050. Agenda 2030 is just a milestone within the main 100-year plan. So Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is the global plan for inventory and control. It encompasses every aspect of your life, and it's intended to be a wrenching transformation of your life. That's what Senator Al Gore called it when he took the United States sort of group to the largest gathering of heads of state and national representatives that had ever been convened up to that time. That was in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 1992 for the Agenda 21 conference. Representatives of 178 nations plus the Vatican agreed to this action plan. So yeah, I know you're going to see on Wikipedia that it says it's a non-binding voluntary agreement. Except Agenda 21 is binding on you. It's been written into the laws of your countries, all the way from China, all Western and Middle Eastern nations, all over the world, through a collaboration of government, corporations, and organizations and foundations. It's a global plan, but it's not an international plan. International means between nations. But this plan erases nations. It's global. It's a global plan that's implemented locally. So it has a different name everywhere, but it's the same plan. Every aspect of your life is affected. So it's in your school curricula. It's in your planning and building department. It's in your court system, in your healthcare system. It's everywhere. But they never call it Agenda 21. You're going to see it as regional plans often that are called Plan Bay Area or Four States, One Vision, or Mexico 2030, or Hanoi 2030, or Horizon 2050 in Canada, for example. They're all the same plan. They elevate major economic power centers to a supra-governmental status, that is outside of and above the traditional representative government model. These are the mega regions. They drive the economy and they overpower the nation state. They combine parts of cities, of states. They even combine pieces of nations together. They destroy boundaries and they ignore legal jurisdictions by creating new economic princedoms. These are new fiefdoms. It's not government, it's governance. Governance. It's a system made up of public sector agencies, nonprofits, business organizations, advocacy groups, foundations, and corporations. What do they have in common? You don't vote for any of that. The larger the entity, the further away it is from you, the less power you have. You get literally taken out of the picture. This is the new global state in which you are a global citizen. Okay, so the new state is the means by which you have to serve others for the common good, and that's defined by the state. It's supposedly from the bottom up. It's something you want. But really, it's an end run against your around your sovereignty. It's your sovereignty is eroded piece by piece. So, you know, the question is, what is the Agenda 21 plan? When you see it in public, it's primarily a land use plan. It's the rallying cry, you know, for sustainable development. What do they say? That we're killing the planet with our CO2 emissions. So the plan is designed to corral populations into what the UN calls islands of human habitation, human settlements. Of course, once you're in that concentrated island of human habitation, formerly called a city, you're more easily managed, controlled, and surveilled. It might be a city like the one that Sidewalk Labs, a subsidiary of Google's parent company Alphabet, a city like they had planned for the area, an area of Toronto. That city was to have had sensors embedded everywhere, literally, and the residents would have their services restricted unless they exposed every aspect of their lives digitally. If, for example, as a resident, you refused to have your data linked to your identity, you would have less rights than others. This is a smart city. It's a city where I believe virtual and augmented reality will replace real life and actually be more appealing. Ultimately, people may spend their entire lives living virtually, and those lives are going to be short. So what's the justification for this dystopia? The story is that your greenhouse gas emissions will be reduced by consolidating populations into these dense city centers where energy and water usage can be limited. This is going to get you out of the rural areas where you can basically do what you want, raise your livestock, grow food with water from your well, drive your farm truck, and own a firearm. But in order to implement Agenda 21, your country, state, county, parish, canton, city, whatever, is imposing this land use plan locally. Because think about this, where you live has a lot to do with how you live and what your life will be. So your old life has to be transformed. Transform, that's code for destroyed and rebuilt. That's the new normal. This includes both what they call the built environment and the way that you use that physical space. Your beliefs and your expectations have to be transformed and rebuilt as well. Your energy use, water use, food consumption, social structure, work, health, and your life expectancy views, all of that has to be transformed. And much of that is determined in that regional plan that you've got right there where you live. I suggest you check it out. So how do they destroy your rights? You don't vote for it. You do pay for it, though. That regional plan gets paid for with federal and state grants that pay for consultants who basically contract to push this through the community. And the few concerned citizens who show up to the visioning meetings and the charrettes, as they call them, to object, the consultants are there to block opposition. They're basically there to indoctrinate the public. The consultants are trained change agents and organizational managers. They're there to give the impression that they've listened to the public and the public approves the plan. But it's all an act. I think you're going to agree that this is a real big deal. It's a tough sell and a huge management problem, even with the deception and the collusion of the corporate media. I should say the partnership, the ownership. It's not easy to destroy nearly 500 years of the nation state. So it has to be done incrementally, using all of the power and influence of government, corporations, and organizations, including all tech, entertainment, media, and education. This is a media mega corporate plan, a totally mega corporate plan. It's a joint partnership. It's a public-private partnership between government, the world's largest corporations, banking conglomerates, the big money foundations like the Ford and Rockefeller Foundations, groups like the World Wildlife Fund and the National Religious Partnership for the Environment. It's a closed circle. It only includes you when you agree with their plan. Of course, that's what's meant by getting the approval of the community. The community is anyone who agrees with the plan. If you don't agree, you're not the community. Dissent is not permitted. These major foundations, they give grants to thousands of startup organizations. They train and they fund spin-off groups like that look like benevolent nonprofits and neighborhood associations. This whole system, it acts as the lower bureaucracy for the new system. And, you know, this is basically an ultimate enemy, the ultimate enemy of the individual. So to make Agenda 21 happen, it requires the full integration of systems in order to control them centrally. That's the standardization of all systems. And the new currency is information and energy. In order to have centralized control, full globalization, it's necessary to standardize all law, all education, all culture, all finance. In order to merge, it has to be standardized. So, yeah, this was impossible until the advent of the computer age. Now it's inevitable. This is why every school child is given a computer and the internet is now in tiny villages in every nation. Your educational system is used to manipulate you into thinking of yourself as a global citizen. Yeah, I hope you don't, because a global citizen is not a citizen at all and has no rights. Under UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, what's termed a right is really a privilege, and it can be taken away or granted at any time. Of course, conversely, punishment can be imposed without redress. So this explains how the UN can call universal internet connectivity a human right. During COVID, UNICEF, the UN Children's Educational Fund, they created a project called GIGA. And the goal is to get every school in the world to do online classes. And the term for this is direct instruction. Nothing comes between the child and the computer. It makes standardized indoctrination really easy. And of course, you all know that as a startup, Google was funded by the intelligence community in order to spy on people who searched specific topics on the internet. So then they could identify those people. Basically, it turns the tables on us and exposes us to surveillance. Now, billions of people voluntarily carry a surveillance device at all times. When you hear the term smart, whether it's a smartphone or smart car or smart home or whatever, this is an acronym, S-M-A-R-T, sustainability, monitoring, assessing, rating, and tracking you. GIGA, the Children's Universal Connectivity Project, has digitalized more during 10 weeks of COVID than in the last 10 years. For this, they need 5G. And for that, they need decentralized energy projection. That enables digitalized experimentation and spying on large populations without their consent or knowledge. Sort of a digital colonization. Mega corporations are out there. They're searching for people who add value, who are innovators. Corporations want to own innovation. Not everybody has value in this system, this new system. Most of you don't. Most likely you're worth less than your student loan. Your value, your social credit score, is based on whether you produce more than you consume and whether you serve or obstruct the state. Government has overcome our constitutional rights by merging with private corporations who can operate without restraint in secret, punishing, purging, and disappearing dissidents. Like Facebook and Google and Twitter and Amazon have done virtually. This is globalization. Globalization erases the boundaries going from the city all the way up to the nation. It's the end of representative government. Now, you know, I know you might think that government is an obstacle, it's a danger, and it doesn't represent you anyway, so who cares, right? Well, I do know who I'm speaking to here, and actually I agree. But at least in the United States, government was originally conceived as representative. It was like you were a busy farmer or a merchant, and you elected a representative who agreed to give up a few years of their life to handling that stuff so you didn't have to. These positions were never intended to be lifelong gigs. Now people like Pelosi and McConnell are in government for 50 years. Well, why is that? It's because they keep getting voted in. The money that elects them keeps them there. At the top, power has no party. So what do the globalist controllers want? Agenda 21 is designed for management efficiency. Mega corporations want to have harmonized, integrated laws and regulations and as few as possible, so they don't have to change their business or retool to sell in different markets. They want no borders and open markets. They want to kill competition, no matter how small, and engineer demand. They want to deal with as few decision makers as possible, ideally just one. They want to merge with government. They want workers suited for the work needed and easily discarded. They want to own innovation, so they want direct connection with universities. They want to control all resources, human and natural, because, you know, humans are a resource, or more likely, you're a hindrance. Megacorporations need full control and total information. This is the digital revolution. It's the fourth industrial revolution. It is the Great Reset. The previous three industrial revolutions mainly focused on energy and hardware. Whether it was steam or gas or electronics, these new energies radically restructured society for the family, all the way from the family, basically to work, to cities, to government, everything completely restructured. This is the fourth industrial revolution now, the digital revolution. It's the explosion of technology moving faster than the speed of ethics and oversight, and it eclipses all previous three revolutions. It's from artificial intelligence having the potential to change the nature of the human being, to robotics being used for policing, to smart buildings and sensors that monitor us continuously. This revolution enables an uncertain future. The fourth industrial revolution, in the context of the first three, represents a phenomenal acceleration in terms of time and the ability to control the masses, transform and disrupt, build back better. When you hear that, know that you can't rebuild it unless you break it first. They call it the new social contract, the one you didn't agree to, the great reset concept that you won't own anything. You'll rent anything you need. You've got to look at that through the lens of private property. You are your most important private property. To lose ownership of your freedom of speech, of movement, basically of your free will, that means you lose what is most important to you. It reduces your expectations for a full life and forces you into a new era of austerity, of scarcity. That ain't easy. It's not easy to do this. The loss of freedom in the most vital of ways, the independence and privacy of the body and mind, that demands what they call the new normal. You don't come to that place without a major crisis. The self-styled globalist controllers who intend to totally disrupt the future, they considered what kind of a crisis would be necessary to make one world governance a reality, one that expands beyond the corporations into our homes and our bodies. The way I look at it, global crisis requires a global response, and that justifies global governance. It really takes a major crisis, a global crisis, to break the identification with your nation and your culture. Something like climate change, right? It creates an existential terror that we're destroying the planet and our entire way of life is a threat to its continued existence. Hey, that ain't science. Science is made to fit the desired result in this situation. It is the green mask. So behind that mask of environmental concern, you find the lust for global, centralized, totalitarian control. The climate change threat is a stage, it's a phase. It's designed to prepare us for more restrictions and limitations. And now we're experiencing, of course, a much more pervasive and restrictive threat. They brought out the big gun. The new existential threat is COVID-19. In fact, the World Wildlife Fund says that COVID is, quote, nature's response to man's abuse of the environment, unquote. Are they serious? Yeah, nature is a terrorist. So invisible, colorless, odorless, scarcely detectable, COVID is the new mask for the new normal. 9/11 was the justification for the security state. COVID enables the surveillance state. COVID justifies global enforcement. Truly tailor-made for the New World Order. COVID has issued in house arrest, purges of truth tellers, economic collapse, the full empowerment of these megacorporations. And of course, how could I forget the willing, the lineup of the willing dictators from Macron in France to Ardern in New Zealand, to Trudeau in Canada, to Harris in the US, to Cuomo, Newsom, Whitmer, Garcetti, Lightfoot, and dozens of others all across the world. In the competition for the rule of the mega regions, the willing collaborators are stepping up locally as well, of course. And this is really what the last 4 years have been about. Separate the wheat from the chaff, the loyal from the dissidents. That's how it's done. Mao Zedong did this in China with his Let 100 Flowers Bloom campaign. He encouraged his loyal followers to critique his programs so that he could make them better. But really, he did it to identify and purge his critics, which he did. So what I'm talking about here is power. Those with power want to keep it. Those without it want it. There have always been people who wanted to control the world. What's changed is the capacity for control has expanded in velocity and scope in a way that has never before been possible. So now, as I conclude, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be brave, to find the joy in simply being alive. Ask yourself, what do I value? Recognize, you know, you yourself are part of the reason that we're in this situation. Have you preferred convenience to liberty? The free world requires liberty with responsibility, and that takes work. The work we do can be full of pitfalls, full of controlled opposition, which appears to be the answer, but instead is a sort of a greenwashed, candy-coated, twisted circle of propaganda that goes back to the green mask. So you've got to stop and think.
All right. Very, very good. There you go, folks. It gives you something to stop and think. Now, I want to remind you that they go by different names. In fact, here in Ohio alone, there's several different names, but they're all Agenda 21. So when you hear, be very careful, when you hear things like NOAACA, that's Northeast Ohio or whatever, that is the Agenda 21 here. They're out to take away all of your freedoms. They want to virtually make you virtual slaves to their desires. All right. We're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to be back right after this. A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, "I want to see the preacher." So they left them alone. "Will you make me a promise?" she said as he walked in. He said, "Tell me what I can do." She said this to him. Tell mom and dad about heaven above, heaven they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, tell them all he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them. She said, "I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about mom and dad?" I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Just tell mom and dad about heaven above, how that they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above, tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
You better do it. Tell them about Jesus, folks. Tell them about Jesus. Hey, listen, I did that today, a lot of that today, but anyhow. Doers of the Word Baptist Church, people are wanting to know, what are we going to do for this Sunday? Well, I don't know, tell you the truth, what I'm going to be preaching on yet, but I'll be preaching, Lord's willing, on something for sure. But I know that we start at 8:30 with an in-depth Bible study, and then that goes from 8:30 to 9:30. 9:30, we start with another in-depth Bible study. It goes to 10:30. 11:15, we start the morning service. And then at 1:30, Pastor Fred is teaching his class. And then at this week, the Bible and current events, we're going to be at 4 o'clock. We'll be showing, if you want to see this, it's a film on artificial intelligence. Things have really gotten out of control. You got to see this. It's artificial intelligence. And that'll be at 4 p.m. at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. That's this Sunday. And let's go to Jim in Cleveland. Jim, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. You know, I've been following this balloon disaster, and I have not heard one person mention this. You know, shortly before the Soviet Union collapsed, a young boy flew a Piper Cub from Finland over to Moscow and landed on Red Square. And when that happened, it was like a shot across the bow. In other words, if somebody can go through all your intelligence, you know, in a little Piper Cub, you don't have much intelligence, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with this thing. You know, if Montana didn't find that, you know, who even knew? You know, it traveled all across the country taking pictures, sending back information. So it sounds like maybe this is going to be the end of this country too, eh?
Well, you know, this is the problem of it is our military, everything, our intelligence agencies, they've all been corrupted. I mean, it's all a part of the times that we're living in. And our job is to do everything we can to undo that. So there you go.
I just wanted to pass that on. I haven't heard one person mention that.
Well, you just did.
Right you are, Ken.
All righty. All righty. God bless. Let's go to Global Resident John.
Hello?
Hello, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I really appreciated that lady that you had on in the recent minutes, and it's right on everything she said. The problem is that many of these over 1,000 right-wing stations bring out some truth about this, but then attribute it all to the Democrats. And the largely what's wrong with the Democrats, they copied each other. They have copied the Republicans in hyper hatred against countries around the world to incite hostilities, anti-communist paranoia, to drag us into places for the last 100 years. And there's only a few sources that I think are bipartisan exposers of both the Al Capone mafia faction and the Frankenidy Purple Gang faction of rivalry, and their unity, bipartisan unity, in dragging us into wars and charging us over $1 trillion of our taxes every year to enhance the profits of the military-industrial complex and the CIA. One of them is globalresearch.ca, and a powerful article called The Gladio Crimes of the U.S. CIA Empire. And it brings up many of the things that you just had on the program. For instance, that the CIA and the U.S. government bipartisanly have created, armed, and financed Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and whatever latest aliases they've used in media to confuse the fact that they all sprang from the same CIA, going all the way back to 1979 when Zbigniew Brzezinski, the father of Mika Brzezinski on The Morning Joke, for instance, and a top scum elitist, started the billions of dollars going to essentially Al-Qaeda when it was called the Mujahideen.
All right, very good. Yes, we talked about that, but thanks for calling. And you know what? I can remember the Purple Gang. They're right here. They were from right here in Cleveland. Let's go to Steve in Cleveland. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. You're doing as good as always.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
I'll tell you what, you just mentioned Sunday. That's a whole week for somebody, what you got going on for Sunday.
Yeah, we are doers of the word over there. We get her done.
No, you're more than doers. You're doers, go-getters, and finishers. Because, I mean, there's nobody that's been on the radio literally ever. Like, I mean, there's people on there. There's good people out there. But, I mean, you're all around. You made me understand what an abortion is. And, I mean, really, just to sit there and listen through the years. But now to just feel it when you say it, it's like, it's maybe it's when you get older you realize what life is.
It's a horrible, horrible thing. God's Word, the Bible, makes it very, very clear. And when you kill a child, whether you're offering it to Moloch or your convenience, whatever you're offering it to, it's a horrible thing. You've transgressed God's dominion. And I'm going to tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
I wouldn't want to. I mean, it's just it's fearful just listening to it. Real fast, my dad was in radar, sergeant in the Marines. He was in Okinawa for about 9 months. And when they dropped the atom bomb there on Hiroshima, I guess I know there's two of them, but making it quick, he says he couldn't feel any feedback, but I guess he was about 250 miles away. But he was in radar, and to kind of just, when you play golf, they got bogey and all the different words, and that's kind of what it was like. He said you could see the planes when they were coming in, the different, just the angles and what they were. And he says we just put it all together, and we gave it to the commanding officers, and they made hay out of it. And but you can see what's coming in, and NORAD, I mean, they knew exactly. They could tell from SpaceX, just from out in the space, what's going on. But 1992, Rush Limbaugh had a book he wrote, and it says, "See, I told you so." On the back of it, there was two sentences. It says, "The Democrats are in the White House now, and even Bill Clinton can't destroy the country in 4 years." But you go back and you listen to that guy. If they took 5 minutes of him and put him on Clay and Buck the Dude now, and one of the guys are married on honeymoon, we miss that guy because Dan Bongino just had cancer surgery Friday. He was back Tuesday. So, but
all right, very good. We got to move on. The whole board is lit. Okay, bring on Pastor Hal. Hal, yeah, you stay right there. I'm going to just hang in here. Let's go to Carol in Minnesota. Hello, Carol. Carol, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Well, lately I've been thinking a lot about, suspicion, conspiracy theories, and people just thinking things without evidence. And I'm wondering how you and your program find evidence.
We do all different means. We do a lot of research, and I can tell you myself, personally, I would sit in the meetings with the World Health Organization, Sierra Club, World Economic Council, Planned Predators. They didn't know who I was. I would go and I would sit in their meetings. Now, I can't do it now because they know who I am now. But I would sit there and I would take notes on everything that they were talking about, ways of depopulating the planet. All ruthless, and they would do it in such a way like, oh, well, who cares if we just, if we eliminate billions of people? This is the mindset. So a lot of these things we do ourselves.
Oh, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
May I ask? Oh, yeah. I was wondering, how did you get into those meetings?
They actually will put them out when they're going to have a meeting. Sometimes they use different terminologies, and I would just walk in with others and, one group thought I would be with the other group thought I would be with them, and they never questioned me, but they do now.
Did you ever use a tape recorder?
Yeah, we did.
And can you possibly air that on the radio?
That would be pretty difficult because it's pretty hard to get up, when you have that, to get up to get it clear enough. It's because they get up and somebody's way up in the front of the room and they're talking on the mic, and so it's a little difficult. But I get clips now. There are people that do that. We've played a lot of their clips of their meetings. Like recently, we've been playing the World Economic Council. We play their meetings there. You just heard a clip we played with Obama, admitting that he started ISIS. Okay. We have other clips that we played.
Can you play that again? Because I missed that. Or maybe I can find that online somehow. I'd like to be able to find that.
I'll tell you what, you just hang on right there. Why don't you pull that up now? This is as much of it we were able to get before they took it down. And he's speaking to his fellow communist or globalist antichrist people there, his gang. Go ahead and play that if you could.
Was moving too slowly? But the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
There you go.
Did he say ISIL?
ISIL, yeah. That's what he called ISIS. ISIS is ISIL. That's what they called it. We shortened it to ISIS.
Okay, I'll have to research that. I wonder if ISIL is something different than ISIS.
No, ISIL and ISIS are the same thing. He was a part of that, and also there were.
Now how do we know that's his actual voice? How do we know that's not someone, doing a false voice?
Well, how do I know that you are actually you who you are, and how do you know that I'm actually me? Because I might not even be here.
Question.
Right. I mean, okay. If I wanted to be. I could actually be a woman because you can do that nowadays, you see. Remember, all you have to do is feel that way, right? I mean, we're living in that way. No, we go through.
Well, Mr. Sanders, there is one thing that you've said on the air that I have to say that I have evidence that it's not true, and that is that the vaccine hurts people. It may hurt some, but listen, I've had it.
All right.
And my friends have had it, family, and no one's been hurt by it that I personally know.
Well, we have a whole lot of people out here that personally have been hurt from them. We've had them on the radio program.
What I'm saying is that some people are not.
Did you listen to the clip we played? Did you know who was in that clip that we just played?
I tuned in a little bit late. Sorry.
All right. Well, the fellow that was in that clip was the former vice president and also the top scientist from Pfizer. And guess what? He was telling you, if you'd listened to the clip very carefully, about the different batches that he made. So that was Dr. Mike Yeadon. Dr. Mike Yeadon, former scientist from Pfizer, their top scientist. And by the way, have you ever heard Robert Malone on here?
Through my family.
Pardon?
Oh, I said that vaccine did not hurt myself. My friends are.
Well, he was telling you, and if you'd listen to what he was saying, there was a different batches. They made different batches. They made some batches that were very, very lethal, and they put them out to specified red areas, red states, specified areas. Other batches, they weren't. They were very placebos, and they would put that out to an area, then go back and say, you see, all of these people in this area, virtually we had no people getting sick, no people being damaged by it, but they would not go in the other areas where people were sick and dying. And so,
oh my gosh, I would love to hear that. So how can I hear that?
We just played it a minute ago.
I know, but I didn't hear it. So how can I get a hold of it?
It's on BitChute.com. Go to BitChute.com.
She can get a podcast too.
Pardon? Just go to, well, you can play to this. You can pick it up, the podcast. Just go to our podcast.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All righty. Let me see. How much time do we have there? All righty. Okay. AC in Cleveland, you've got about 2 minutes, AC.
Okay. Pastor.
Yes.
The lady was questioning whether ISIL was ISIS. And yes, it is one and the same. And the reason the L on Obama's version stands for Levant, and the term stands for Islamic State in Syria, if it's ISIS, or Islamic State in Levant, and Levant means an area much greater than Syria, and that's the acronym that Obama used. It's one and the same people. So there's no question there, and definitely that's his voice. There's no questioning there.
That's definitely his voice. You're right. We had people who were in the meeting who took that down. Yeah, but anyhow.
Yeah, so Levant is some people called it ISIL, and actually the people that were proponents of that, those people, did use the term ISIL, because Levant is a larger area than just Syria. Levant includes anywhere around Israel, actually. So he did use the acronym ISIL.
All right, AC, you hit a home run. I thank you very much. All right. Now you've got 5 minutes, Pastor Hal, 5 whole minutes to tell the folks how they can get to heaven and avoid hell.
Okay, Pastor, you know, anybody that has any common sense and looks at the world situation right now, they can see that we're so close to the Antichrist showing up, it's not funny, but the Jesus Christ is going to show up before that, and either people are going to give their souls to Jesus Christ or the Antichrist, and they automatically are going to give it to the Antichrist if they turn their back on Jesus Christ, and this is what they got to realize, and there's not going to be any peace in this earth without the Prince of Peace, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John 3:3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what he told Nicodemus, a ruling Jewish leader. And being born again means you were born the first time physically, or you wouldn't be hearing my voice right now. The second time is a spiritual birth that takes place the moment you open up the door of your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept and receive what he did for you at Calvary. At that time, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart and gives you a spiritual birth into the family of God. That's the only way you biblically become a Christian. You could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. Joining a church, your parents and everybody else before you be members of that church, does not make you a Christian. You have to become a Christian by birth. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, You receive Jesus by, first of all, repenting of your sin condition. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And I've said this a million times before. Repentance is simply admitting to God that without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. There's no getting around it. And that's being nice about it. But, you know, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come to him and he gives to you the payment he paid for you. He had to pay that payment for you. God is a God of perfect righteousness. He can't let sin come into heaven. So no matter how much he loves you, you've got to get those sins removed from you for you to come to heaven. And so that's why God allowed Jesus to die on that cross. He was allowing Jesus to transfer your guilt and my guilt for all our sins upon his son Jesus. And right before Jesus died, he said, it is finished, which means all the work necessary to transfer your sin and my sin onto his son so that we can be clean and washed in his blood has been done. And it's the blood of Christ that washes away your sins. No pope, priest, religious leaders, or church can wash away one sin. And if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again, which you can't do, nothing's going to clean away the sins you've already done except for the blood of Christ. That's why he said in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. His blood, not Mary, Peter, Paul, your next-door neighbor, Aunt Sue and Uncle Harry. It's Jesus Christ, because in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's literally the blood of God himself that washes away our sins. And that don't become yours until you come to God and ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart as your Savior. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. And if you were to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he would come into your heart and give you eternal life. Listen, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot work your way to heaven. There's not one thing you can do to add to what Jesus did for you to get to heaven. That's what Jesus did, period. And whether you by faith have received that finished payment he paid for you, or try and get there some other way. And don't be foolish trying to think you're going to get there some other way. God made one way. John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way to get to heaven. So when you come to Jesus and admit your guilt, admit your need, and you ask him to come into your heart as your Savior, he'll do it because he wants you to be saved from hell. Now, my job as a preacher is to lead people to Jesus. If you want to receive that payment Jesus paid for you, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call means to pray. So it's not believing about what Jesus did. It's receiving the payment that he paid for you that gets you to heaven. So if you want that payment, pray to God right now. I'll lead you a few words at a time. But even though we're praying together, it's between you and God.
We're out of time.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now.
Amen. We're out of time for tonight. But listen, thanks for giving that invitation. So until tomorrow, good night. God bless. And always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.